This is the Rain Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF. Welcome to part one of a two-part interview of what we call ham radio and fursuits. Don't understand fursuits? Well, just keep listening. It'll soon be very clear. Let me start by saying it's not often that one gets to interview a hyena. Well, at least a ham dressed as a notoriously happy animal. But on Thursday, March 1st, that's exactly what happened with this reporter. That's when I had the extreme pleasure of chatting by phone with Miss Julie Frederick, KDAAYJ of Streetsboro, Ohio. I first learned about Julie's interest in animal costuming when I came across a rather interesting video on the YouTube.com website, a video titled, What Happens When You Combine Fursuits and Amateur Radio? I was interested. The title was so different from most of the stuff you find posted dealing with ham radio on YouTube. Then I had to take a peek. Let's face it, you can just take so many tours of people's ham shacks or seeing their new antenna videos before you got to do something different. So when a hyena comes along and one tied to ham radio, you just got to take a look. A few days later, I had the lady in the hyena suit on the phone, and she turned out to be one of the most enchanting people I've ever had the good fortune to meet in amateur radio or to interview. So now it's time to let Julie introduce herself.
All right. Well, my name is Julie Frederick, and I currently live in Streetsboro, Ohio. My call sign is Kilo Delta 8 Alpha Yankee Juliet. I'm a technician. I can easily get my general license. However, I've been a little bit too busy to get the test lately with the Morse code drop, especially last Saturday. Unfortunately, I'm too busy to get my license at the time because it's right in the middle of midterms, which brings me to my next point that I am a senior marketing major at the University of Akron.
Let's start with ham radio, and we'll get into your costume in a minute, okay? How did you get into ham radio? How long have you been a ham? How did you get into it, and what are your interests?
Pretty much I've been around ham radio all my life. My dad is an extra-class ham. His call sign is WB9LBI, Whiskey Bravo 9, Lima Bravo India. And really, he had it in the garage for many, many years, and one day I just took an interest to it and said, well, what's all this equipment about? Show me, Dad. I was 13 at the time, and he showed me everything, let me play around a little bit on his HF gear, of course, with his supervision. And then one day I got busy quite with school, and then I kind of forgot about it. However, 2 years ago, I just went out of the blue one day and went out and got my license, and that was Valentine's Day 2005. So really, I've been officially in ham radio for 2 years now. I'm vice president of the University of Akron Amateur Radio Club, W8UPD, and it's a really small club because, especially with college campuses, there aren't too many amateur radio clubs left in the United States. It's kind of a dying breed. But our club, I help run promotional events on campus. We just did a promotional event earlier this month where we were in the student center and had a HF gear in operation, and we just had banner and a bunch of flyers about information about ham radio in general. Our club actually hasn't done fox hunts too lately, but last year we were pretty active in the fox hunt, and that's one of my favorite hobbies is fox hunting with my little Yaesu.
Which brings me to the way we have to come across you was you put together a small video on YouTube.com about your interest in fox hunting, but it caught our eye for another reason because of the way you were dressed. You want to go into that a little bit about fox hunting and the way you were dressed?
Sure. Well, that video on YouTube that I did was, if anybody ever happens to see it, it's a little bit impromptu. The lighting is really bad. At the time, I just got my brand new Samsung DD camera, and I just had to have an excuse to play with it. I went and I put on my hyena costume because I saw another video on YouTube of a group of people who are actually fox hunting in animal costumes. I said, this is so cool. So I put on my animal costume, and I decided to talk about fox hunts and you know, hopefully I can attend that meeting next year, or this year I should say, in 2007. But I just thought it was a pretty neat thing to do. Since I do like doing fox hunting and I do like making costumes, I thought it was a nice combination of the two.
Tell us a little bit about the costuming. How'd you get into it, and how do you look at it as an adjunct to your ham radio stuff?
To answer your first part of the question, how I got into animal costuming was, I think it's a kind of a long story. My earliest experience with animal costuming, I should say, was when I was 4 years old. My aunt had made for me, for the Halloween of 1988, a dinosaur costume. And it was, at the time, a generic dinosaur costume. It was shaped like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but had giant pink spikes, almost like a Stegosaurus. And not only did I dress as it for Halloween, but also my parents took me to the Natural History Museum in my dinosaur costume. That was when the animatronic dinosaurs came to Cleveland. I was roaring at the dinosaurs. And after Cleveland, in fact, later on that summer of 1989, I went to Milwaukee Natural History Museum, also in my dinosaur costume. I again got, for a while, I would make costumes and compete with them at conventions, not an animal costume, but other costumes as well, in science fiction conventions. And I stumbled across a convention called Anthrocon. And there, it's primarily people dressing up in animal costumes and parading around, and basically fans of anthropomorphic-type artwork come to this convention as well. And I absolutely fell in love with the costumes. I said, this is fabulous work. It was a challenge. Animal costumes, unlike a regular dress costume, is you have one limited vision. It's a little bit harder to move around in, and then there's the heat factor. It's very, very hot in those costumes. Ham radio, like animal costuming, is a challenge in itself. Sometimes you're in ham radio to get the optimal signal. Sometimes you're in just to see how you can operate ham radio with very basic primitive tools and in situations like in field day. I think I was drawn to animal costumes and to do amateur radio in the animal costumes from the challenge of the two. If you were to look at it from a Venn diagram perspective, you have both incorporate challenges. Both, it's a challenge. Some people build their own amateur radio gear, and some people like to build their own animal costumes. And I think people who like to do both, you know, fox hunt in animal costumes, like at Anthrocon, they just have overlapping similarities.
We're talking with Julie Frederick, KD8AYJ, about her interest in creating and wearing animal costuming. This is the Rain Report, and we'll be right back. Okay. Now back to Streetsboro, Ohio, the home of KD8AYJ.
Do you look at the possibility of your costuming work as something that you might want to follow as a career?
I have made costumes for other people. I just got finished making a costume for a friend of mine about 3-4 weeks ago. I wouldn't say I'd look at it as a possibility of career, since my passion is kind of marketing. But there is a lot of marketing involved. I look at it more of as a hobby, just because if you were to go into that field, it's more risk-taking, and it's more about trying to get commissions, and you're just basically living off commissions. In this day and age, most people my age are considered with getting a job and seeing what kind of fringe benefits you can get associated with that job. So, I love making costumes, and sewing is one of my favorite hobbies. I think I'll stick to marketing career-wise.
Getting back to your costuming, okay? I caught another. I found your third video. You said to me in one of the notes, I think, that there was another one, and where you demonstrate how you put the costumes on. It appears to me that you spend a lot of time putting these costumes together. I mean, it's not something that's overnight. Those things are very well planned, aren't they?
Yes, it is very well planned, which is one of the reasons I love making these elaborate animal costumes. It's it's so much of an engineering process within itself. When I was a child, well, not really when I was a child, when I was about 13, 14, me and my dad would spend quite a, many hours together putting various electronic things like strobe lights. I was into playing electric guitar for a while, so we made fuzz boxes, vocalators, amplifiers, all out of basically home part kits that you can order off of most AM radio supply shops online. And that required quite a bit of engineering and planning. So to these costumes, you gotta first macroscopically look at how you want your costume to look, markings, size-wise, if you want. Like, my costume has the moving jaw. If you would like a costume to have a moving jaw, it's, you got to look at your options first. And then once you have all the options that you would like, then the engineering process starts. And you look at what fabric you need, how you're going to piece and cut this fabric together. So when you sew it, the final process is what you want. It's almost similar to the show that they show on Discovery nowadays, where people put together motorcycles. It's very similar in the same process. You design in your head or on a sheet of paper what you want, and then you start to fabricate the parts piece by piece. Each part is engineered in its own self, and once the pieces are put together, you have the finished product. My costumes, I just work on them in my spare time. My hyena costume took about 2 months to put together. That was just in free time, in my spare time, and about 2.5 months for my friend's costume. Of course, taking in the learning curve factor, the more you do it, the faster and better you're able to make these costumes. However, his costume had quite a bit more features than what mine has, so hence it took about 2.5 months.
You know, you just brought up something which I meant to ask you earlier on. How come a hyena?
Hyenas, since I was about 11 years old, I've always had a fascination with them. The movie The Lion King came out, and that, of course, gave hyenas a little bit of a bad name. Then, you see all these documentaries on TV, and I saw one on Discovery Channel especially that documented hyenas hunting, spotted hyenas hunting. And all of a sudden I realized, hey, they're not the scavengers that they are. Lions steal just as much as food as they steal from them. But hyenas are very interesting creatures. Looking at it from a feminine aspect, the female hyenas are, in fact, the clan leaders. They're much more outgoing than males, more dominant. And they're, of course, very loving and caring mothers. So I just seem to like hyenas just in the fact that they're kind of a misunderstood animal. But I've always liked them. They've had, just like people like cats and dogs, which I do. I just happen to like hyenas as well. And I thought it'd be more of a challenge to make since you don't see too many hyena costumes out there.
So where does one actually wear a hyena outfit? Well, Julie talks about that and much more, including her fursuit character she calls Jixer, next week. In the meantime, if you'd like to see what Julie looks like in costume, go to www.youtube.com and do a search for, quote, what happens when you combine fursuits and amateur radio. We guarantee you a smile. Now for producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, who's in frozen Chicago, and the entire RAIN production crew, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF at the Amateur Radio Newsline Studios in Los Angeles, saying 73, and as always, we thank you for listening. All material in this report is jointly copyrighted by RAIN and the Amateur Radio Newsline. All rights are reserved.